Gold drew many people to California more than a century and a half ago. The discovery of gold led to the gold rush beginning in 1849 and the coining of the term 49ers. Rivers on both sides of the state line are gold-bearing streams. A lot of the gold has been mined over the decades. Much still remains, and people like the members of the group, the New 49ers, continue to work to bring it out. Mining for gold in rivers is not universally loved, you may be aware. California banned suction dredge mining a couple of years ago. California did that. Oregon capped permits last year and will declare a moratorium for 5 years, starting in 2016. We invited the New 49ers on to talk about what they do and how they do it. Rich Krim is the Director of Internal Affairs. Rich, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff.
And Montine Blevins is with us as well, the office manager at the New 49ers. Thank you for joining us, Montine.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
So, Rich, can you start us off? Just tell us about the organization. Is it a business? Is it a club? Is it a nonprofit?
Well, the New 49ers is a prospecting association. It started about 25 years ago. Mr. Dave McCracken had served his time and his commitment in the U.S. Navy as a SEAL. And after he left, he started out in venturing throughout California, Alaska, in various places searching for gold because it sounded like a reasonable thing to do and make a living at it. And as he was doing this, he established himself in Siskiyou County and started researching areas along the Klamath River to claim and work for prospecting to, you know, gather gold. Over the years, and predominantly around the mid-'80s, he was getting a lot of people coming up, visiting him, talking to him about what they can do to earn money. And he explained the process of finding gold, whether it's dredging or high banking, metal detecting, however they want to do it. Predominantly, it was through the suction mining process. And Dave himself picked up through doing some research, claims all along the Klamath River, along the Scott River, up on the Salmon, and made it available to a membership through this association called the New 49ers. And over the years, it's been available to people who are interested in developing a method or a system of getting gold to stay alive.
Really, I mean, for a living. They want to do the gold for a living.
You know, everything is based on, you know, like, we have people that are coming up now that mine year-round. They're down on the river. They weather the cold storms, the rain, the snow, the freezing weather to go out there and mine for a living. And, you know, some people, like when I started, I was coming up for a summer at a time because I didn't want to stay up there in the cold weather. My wife was not interested in that, but we both got involved in it. And it was a way to gather money on the side and supplement our retirement incomes. You know, some people will come up for a month or two, they can vacation, come up there, and they go out there and mine and try to get as much gold as they can during their time and stash it away, or they sell it and pay for bills.
So when you said something about share the claims, the association members actually share in a series of claims?
Yes, they do. There's probably about 96 miles of claims all along the various rivers in California. And the association, through all of our staff, handles all of the paperwork for the maintenance of all of the claims. That's making the payments on them to the federal government, to the county, to keep all of the paperwork straight so that it's all taken care of, which allows the members the ability to not have to go do all of the paperwork. They can just come up there, since they're members, they know what our claims are, where they're located, and they can go working without having to deal with all of the paperwork.
Right, but Montine Blevins, if you're the office manager, it sounds like you have to handle a lot of this paperwork.
Montine? I don't have to personally handle much of it. We have four ladies in the office that handle most of that. Marcy Charlene takes care of most of that for Dave and the club members. I take care of the store and the questions that members have when they walk in the front door, first time people that come and visit, as well as our members that have been here for many years, established, know what they want, what they're looking for, which claim has more gold than others, and which are harder to get to. that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so how does somebody first become a new 49er? I mean, I assume they're paying some sort of dues or fees to maintain membership. And then do they also have to deliver their findings into the association to be split up?
No,
not at all.
The goal that they get is their gold. One of the things that you have to look at is that, you know, how do people find out about the 49ers? A lot of people are, you know, they're searching for areas to work on and claims. It's like, how do I find out where I can work and where I can't work? A lot of people will go on the internet, they'll do some reading, and then they'll run across our site on the internet, and it describes how it's basically hassle-free. By joining the organization, all of the claim work is done, all the maps, everything's available to them. So what will happen is that this piques their interest because it becomes hassle-free as far as searching out where they can work. And we get people and inquiries from literally all over the world, from Australia, New Zealand, England, Germany. We have people coming from during the summer months from all over the world to look into prospecting, to learn about it. And through our association, we've afforded them the ability to come up to weekend projects so they can learn how to mine, how to prospect, how to pan, how to do all of that.
Okay, much more to talk about with the folks in the new 49ers. We're talking to Rich Krim, the Director of Internal Affairs, and Montine Blevins, the Office Manager. Back with the new 49ers and your questions and comments on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about the New 49ers, a 25-year-old-plus association of California and Oregon residents, well, people from all over the world, as has been pointed out, who get together to mine gold on some of the streams on the California side of the state line. Rich Krim is the Director of Internal Affairs for the New 49ers. Montine Blevins is the Office Manager. We're discussing some of the basic operations of the New 49ers and, of course, lots of environmental issues and obstacles to overcome. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, and on our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Montine, I want to come back to you first of all, where are the headquarters for the new 49ers? And you mentioned four people working in the office with you. So how big a staff at the association?
There are four of us here in the office that run the store for Dave. Marcy and Jenny handle the membership on that side of the office. Myrna and I handle the store and the daily questions people come in with.
So how many members at this point are the new 49ers?
If you count husbands, wives, and children, we have about 1,200 members. If you talk memberships, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200.
All right. So, Rich Krim, I want to come back to square one here for the folks who don't really understand how mining works because they've never done it themselves. I mean, when you're talking about claims on rivers, how are the claims established in the first place, and how can they be shared among all the members of the new 49ers?
Well, the claims are researched by myself and a couple of other members, and we file all of the paperwork through the office, through the county recorder's office, and the Bureau of Land Management to establish our claims and our holdings for the mineral rights. Our properties are all on public land. They are not private lands. And by establishing the claim, anybody can go on the property since it's public land, but our association holds the mineral rights, primarily the gold. And we're the only one that are, the claim holders are the only ones that are allowed to extract the gold. So by belonging to the association, you have the right to go out there, and whether it's panning or sluicing or whatever your process is, you can go out there and gather the gold and keep it. And there's no responsibility on the part of the member that they have to come in and say, well, I got this much gold. It's kind of a method of looking for the gold streaks, and some people have a knack at it. They got to learn the process and develop a system to find where these streaks might be at so they can work it in the future, hopefully to gather more gold.
Is it kind of like fishing where you can have two people fishing off two sides of the same boat and one catches a whole bunch and one catches very little?
I mean, Jeff, you hit it right on the head.
So some people are just really good at finding gold and some are not so good.
You know, it's kind of like my grandkids came up one summer along with the mom and dad, and we were I was teaching in the pan. The grandkids were doing great. My daughter-in-law was doing great. My son, who was working right next to the kids and me, he was panning pan after pan, probably went through about 15, 20 pans. And at the end of the day, he still had no gold. My only thing that I could say to him is, Eric, don't give up your daytime job because you're not going to make it as a miner. You know? I mean, the grandkids were doing great. And it's like you said, the fishing, you can be side by side. One person's got the technique, he's got the right lures, he's doing the right thing, and he's getting the fish. The other person, kind of like me, Costco and me and fish, that's where I get my fish at.
You mentioned Dave McCracken, the founder of the New 49ers. He himself was apparently pretty lousy at one time, wasn't he?
No, you know, Dave is another one of those individuals that has got the knack. He can find gold. He can work it. He has written several books. He's got DVDs out. Literally early in his career, he started writing books for information on mining, and he's been very successful, and he's world known for putting together equipment to establish processes. He does a lot of consultation around the world for locating gold.
But he did, in fact, scrape the bottom of the barrel, it sounds like, for a while. He spent some cold and hungry nights in the woods, it sounds like.
Absolutely. To get established, literally, in the mining business, you've got to go out there and work at it. And I've known Dave for a few years, a couple of his friends. The pictures that you've seen him, you know, like during the winter months where their beards are out there just frozen, they're like blocks of ice. They're living in the snow. They're working on Christmas Day. They're working on New Year's. They don't have the ability to call in sick, because when you call in sick or you don't show up on the dredge, you're not making any money. So if you want to be successful and you want to find that big pay streak, you got to get out there and you got to work.
We're talking about the New 49ers. Call it a club, call it an association. It's a collection of miners that get together. Rich Krim is the Director of Internal Affairs. Montine Blevins, the Office Manager. Here is Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good. Hi. I struck gold. You know, the first time I gold mine was 95. A roommate, an old woodsman, taught me panning for gold in the Cape Junction area. It was so exciting. I didn't want to go home, freezing and wet. And then I went with someone I worked for. Said, do you want to go gold mining? A few years later, sure, I remember that. Well, my brother comes from Colorado, and we go in Cape Junction. We've got a little claim there, he said. I saw a beautiful full moon on the river that night, and all I heard was generators, compressors. They had a TV on the picnic table watching a movie, The Abyss. I'm like, nobody's looking at the river. They came out the next morning looking like frogmen in wetsuits with flippers, and the whole bottom was just rearrange, and it just left a bad taste in my mouth.
All right, Jeannie, thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate
sure.
that. Yeah, Rich, this points up an ongoing issue that some miners have with public relations.
Yeah. You know, it's an ongoing thing. It's kind of like when I'm out on the river also, you know, and you hear the big trucks coming by and motorcycles come driving by that drown out even the smallest, you know, even good-sized dredges. You know, there's boats that come up and down the river. I think it comes down to being able to share our resources, to being respectful of other people. And I think that we have the extremes on both sides of the line that, you know, lack that respect of other people. And, you know, it's through an educational processes that just by talking about things, we can meet in the middle and everybody can enjoy our resources.
What is the geology that causes gold to be in these rivers in the first place? And then let's talk about which rivers in which the New 49ers hold claims.
You know, I wish I was a geologist. I've just been told, like, these are the areas, the way the mountains are evolved, the formation of the mountains, ranges. We have some rivers where it's east and west, and you're getting gold. Some are north and south, and based on it. And the area in California and Oregon is just the way the earth formed is great for the formation of how the gold came up through the ground and moves its way down into the rivers.
And which of the rivers are the ones that the New 49ers hold claims upon?
Predominantly on the Klamath River. We have some on the Scott, on the Salmon, on Indian Creek, and Elk Creek.
And Thompson Creek.
And Thompson Creek, right.
So Klamath, Scott, Salmon, Indian Creek, Elk Creek, Thompson Creek. All tributaries of the Klamath eventually?
Yes.
All right. And how long a process was it to establish those claims, and was it done by the earlier members of the new 49ers? Are they still being established, or are they capped at this point?
Good question. Dave McCracken was the one who was developing the Klamath River, ideally for his own usage, but it evolved into a lot of pressure from people coming in that wanted to learn about mining. And he thought to himself, well, geez, you know, we can make this an association. It will be beneficial to him, beneficial to everybody, and to the business to allow these claims to be used through the association. So it's kind of like, as we've worked through the system, everybody has benefited from what Dave started years ago through the use of the claims.
And so, Montine, how are things regulated member to member? I mean, if a member says, I want to go up to this spot on the Klamath or this spot on the Scott River, can two people be there at the same time? Or, I mean, how do you figure out who gets allocated what?
We actually have rules and regulations set in place that the members have to abide by. You're allowed 60 feet for your mining area. If you want someone to come in and work with you, you're allowed to do that. If you want to put your stakes out or your markers out so that no one will walk in your area, you're allowed to do that.
And, Rich Krim, how are there any other organizations like the new 49ers out there where you're all together in this mining effort?
Yes, there are. There's various clubs, various organizations throughout the United States and statewide, even localities that have smaller organizations. The new 49ers just happens to be one of the biggest ones in California and the nation to provide this opportunity.
1,200 members you mentioned. We're talking to Rich Krim and Montine Blevins at the New 49ers. You can join our discussion about their gold mining operations on the Jefferson Exchange. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we've been talking about the basic construct of what goes on, but Rich Krim, it's a lot harder to do in California these days because suction dredge mining is banned at the moment, isn't it?
That's correct. There is a moratorium, and it actually went into effect in 2009, and there's been some addendums and revisions to the various, moratoriums that have come up to prevent any underwater suction mining.
So how is the gold being removed at this point?
Well, we still have a lot of people through the high banking process where they're not working in the actual waterway. They're working up on the gravel bars. They're using sluices at that time so they can bucket material into the sluice and backfill their work area where the excavation occurred. We have some people that are just coming up panning. We have people that are coming up with metal detectors, working in various areas and finding gold.
And so you're going to disturb parts of the river, though, which it seems to be an ongoing issue that you get into with people about the use of the river. Is there more disturbance with the high banking, you think, than with the suction dredging?
You know, this goes back to the educational process that we teach people that come into our organization about how they can backfill their excavations or their sites. And you literally can't tell where they have worked within, the first rain. They've learned to backfill properly, and the same thing occurs underwater where you're moving material underwater. As you're working with your dredge, it literally backfills the area that you work, and just pushing some material around down underwater, you know, you've actually caused the material to kind of clean up, and it leaves areas to where the fish can lay eggs. And I know that over the past couple of years, I've had fishermen, a good, great fishermen that are coming up from various parts of California asking me about where we work dredges because they want to work it because they know that's where they get their best fish. So it's kind of like a love-hate relationship. They don't like what we're doing sometimes, but they want to work with us because we've gone back in there and worked these areas to clean it up to where fish actually come to the area.
I've heard that before, that the claim that the fish seem to hang around the suction dredges. What are they looking for?
Food. my wife has taken pictures underwater and stuff like that of our tailings that are coming. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of small fish coming up there. We're hanging around the back of the dredges.
All right, we have an email here from Bruce in Happy Camp. He says, although I appreciate the economic inputs into the Happy Camp economy, I can't help expressing how disappointed I am in some of the outsiders who come to mine recreationally. Many times my wife and I take our disabled daughter to one of the few swimming holes she can access to find it full of sharp rocks the new 49ers have dislodged into the pool we swim in, as do many people from here. Please, if the new 49ers could implement new policy to get more internal monitoring and education of the amateur miners and their families as to how to be good stewards of our public lands and to think more of others who also use the area to recreate. The gold fever needs to calm down. Would be great to see more new practices in the gold mining, less old destructive practices. Got a response to that, Rich, from Bruce in Happy Camp?
You know, we have taken steps. It goes back several years, many years. In our rules, we've got areas that are, you know, where the people in Happy Camp, that they have their favorite swimming holes. We've got restrictions that they can't even be within 100 feet of those areas. Most of the areas where the dredging occurs is remote from where people are really going to be recreating. And there's areas, you know, if people are swimming, we generally are not around those areas. They're in the faster waters where you don't really find people swimming.
All right, so but you would then work in the slower waters or the faster waters? I didn't get that clearly.
The mining is, the dredging is done predominantly in faster waters where you really wouldn't find people swimming. There might be some recreating and stuff like that, but the local swim holes, we've got regulations to keep people out of those areas, even for panning or whatever they want to do. We're very respectful, or try to be very respectful to the people that are utilizing the rivers for other activities.
Now, I know there are times, I've seen this on the Rogue River, where you'll pass by a dredge and it appears to be unoccupied. Is the miner usually down below in a scuba set?
Actually, it's not a scuba set. The air supply is driven off of compressors from the motors that are running. And if you're probably not seeing anybody, but the dredge looks like it's functioning, that's because they are underwater at the time working, and you're seeing the machine working, but you don't see the actual miners.
Has the California moratorium on suction dredging driven some members of the new 49ers, or at least people who want to mine, across the state line into Oregon?
You know, there are a few that have done that. You know, they thought there was going to be a mass exodus to Oregon. Yeah, there was a few more people that went to Oregon, that they've gone to Washington, they've gone to other states because of the moratorium. But a lot of members have just switched over to either go to high banking, metal detecting, or other processes. Although, you know, we'd love to go back to dredging because that is the most efficient manner in which to work in stream.
Have there been some significant sales of the material that is used for mining when you're not suction dredging? I mean, it seems to me like if you're going to use sluice boxes, do the high banking, or get a metal detector, you're going to end up laying out some bucks to do what you need to do without a suction dredge.
That's true. You know, and to switch over, you know, again, the most efficient method for working in stream is with the dredge. And, you know, some people have sold them off and, you know, gone over and bought other forms of equipment. They've gone to different areas. But, you know, we're hoping that some kind of change will occur within the next few months. You know, we've got some areas of litigation you're going to now in the appellate court, and hopefully there might be some change in the regulations.
All right, let's take a call. We have Alexa in West Haven. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Rich Krim and Montine Blevins from the new 49ers.
Hello. I was just wondering what it costs to join the association. And also, I was wondering, you have 96 miles worth of claims. So what is the total amount of available claim space? How much of the claim space are you taking?
All right. Thanks for that, Alexa.
Okay, I'll take the answer up there. Thank you.
Montine, you're probably the best one because you work in the office, and she manipulates all and handles all of that.
Well, with the promotion that Dave is running right now, you can get a full membership for $2,500, $200 down and $22.50 a month until the balance is paid off. We'll get you out here and enjoying the sunshine, panning, sluicing, high banking, metal detecting, whatever type of mining you want to do. The total amount of claims that we have right here in this area covers about a 200-mile radius. In that radius, the Klamath River, the Scott River, the Salmon River, anywhere that you wish to do your mining, you have 60 feet as a member to come out and put your markers or your area for working. And it allows you to keep all the gold you find and enjoy yourself.
All right, we have a lot more to learn still about the new 49ers and gold mining in California, and gold mining in Oregon as well. It happens in both states, but the new 49ers concentrate on the Klamath and some of its tributaries. We'll talk more with Rich Krim and Montine Blevins and take your phone calls and emails back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Today we're talking to and about the new 49ers. Like the old 49ers, they are trying to bring gold out of California rivers, generally the Klamath and some of its major and minor tributaries. Rich Krim is the Director of Internal Affairs. Montine Blevins is the office manager at the new 49ers, an association with 1,200 or so members. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about gold mining at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Montine Blevins, you just mentioned that there's a special offer right now to get in for $2,500. Without the special offer, what's the membership usually?
We only offer two types of memberships. One is called the associate membership. The other is the full membership that we were just talking about. The associate membership is $100 to come out and mine for 7 days. You can do that any time between May the 1st and September 30th.
Well, that answers the question about seasons then. But are there some people who mine outside of that season, or is that the same restriction for everybody?
Most of the brand new members are the ones we request to do their mining in that time period. Those that have been doing it for a while, don't need assistance, can come out and mine anytime they wish.
Rich Krim, I'm going to guess the best mining then is when the water level is fairly low, because it won't get in the way much. You won't have turbidity, that sort of stuff that fog that clouds up the water.
Yeah, basically you're right. As the water level drops, obviously that's going to expose some more of the bedrock areas, some of the areas that are low. And a lot of miners will go down there and work in the cracks and crevices, just cleaning them out and panning them and finding gold. But, you know, it's easier to get in there when the water's low, because when it's high, especially when we've had these water levels hitting 7-8 feet above the normal, that cuts off that access. So lower water level is better for the mining process.
We have an email here from Patricia in Eureka, who just asks, please explain how mining is compatible with nature.
Is that for me?
Yeah, that's for you, Rich.
Okay. Compatible for nature. That's kind of a tough one to answer just and please everybody. Kind of like looking at what is really compatible with nature. Is there anything that's not compatible or compatible? We fish. We allow fishing to go on. And it's interesting that when we can say that dredging is harmful to nature, I have never harmed a single fish. I know miners that are out there dredging have never harmed any fish, but yet we have millions of fish taken each year by fishing in areas that depletes the area. So which is really more harmful? Is it the fishing that causes the harm, or is it the mining that causes the harm? When we deal with mining, if it's done under reasonable regulations, it's probably beneficial to the environment. I know that when I've been dredging this last summer up in Oregon and in parts of the Klamath River, I take probably 75 to 80 pounds of lead out of the river from fishing weights. I've taken batteries out of the river. I didn't put them in there. I don't think any miners did. But yet we're cleaning up these areas. So mining has its benefits if it's done to assist the environment. We can help clean up these areas, get the lead out, the batteries, the junk, and remove it from the environment. There's areas that have been paid. They're paying out contractors millions of dollars to go through the bottom and aerate the gravel. Mining does that as a normal process of mining. Why are we paying big contracts to do this when it can be done through the mining process? So there are benefits, you know, when it, up to and including, you know, mining processes, you know, years ago, 100 years ago, included some of the mercury issues. Mining, the dredges now can remove 98% of mercury out of the in-stream areas. So there is a benefit of the dredging process.
You had mentioned regulations, Rich. What is stipulated and by whom? Is this under California state regulations, under federal regulations? When you talk about you're messing with the riverbed itself, but then you have to restore it. But restore it to what point? I mean, does it have to look and feel exactly like it did before you were there?
You know, as long as we are not getting into stream bed alterations, that would be changing the curvature of the land, the river, the bank. And mining doesn't do that, you know. And this goes back to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They have formulated, through exhaustive research, certain regulations. And mining is a federal right. It's granted to the citizens of the country to actively work the claims that they were filed on through federal processes. And the states can formulate and put together reasonable regulations to help protect the environment, the fish, all of these issues. But it's regulations. It's not prohibitions. And the current issue now that's coming up into the courts is that the regulations have become a prohibition.
Because there's no suction dredging.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way you can really work in the river, is through suction mining processes.
Now, California has talked about a long review of rules with the possibility of restoring suction dredging. Is that right?
Absolutely. The state California Department of Fish and Wildlife went through an entire research, and they came out with new regulations. And obviously, the suction miners weren't totally happy with the regulations, but it was, and this started back in the early 90s, where they came out with regulations. And we discussed them, and we worked with these regulations since 1994. And then they went and revisited them, and they said, okay, we're going to tune up the regulations. You know, some of the regulations we felt were too regulatory. It really affected the safety of mining. But the Department of Fish and Wildlife says, here's the regulations. Go back to your suction mining process. The moratorium addresses other issues, such as air quality, sound, the visual effect of seeing a dredge on the river. You know, how, to what extent are we going to start regulating everybody? Do we regulate the trucks that are coming by, the motorcycles that have large exhaust systems, people that are burning? You know, if you pick on one section, think about everybody else. You know, someplace in the middle is something reasonable, and that's where we'd like to get back to, is something that's reasonable to work with so that everybody can be happy. And obviously you're not going to please everybody, but we'd like to find a happy medium.
We have another email here from Tim in Eureka. He says, I'm cool with minimal impact panning and high banking, but I can't swallow that dredging is good for the river. But tell me more about using a metal detector. Let's talk about that process, Rich.
Well, it's a process of utilizing a machine, it's an electronic device, and it picks up nuggets that are buried in the ground or small fragments of gold. And you can go out there, and it's just walking across the terrain very slowly and systematically, swinging the metal detector. When you pick up the sound, and it discriminates against iron and other objects such as aluminum, and generally picks up on gold. And you just dig down, and you find that little speck of gold, and put it in your pocket or your vial.
But that is really what you're finding here. It is, we're talking specks and flakes. I mean, you're really not finding large chunks at this time in history, are you?
You know, people have come up with some pretty... I know that about 5 years ago, I came across a piece that was 3/4 of an ounce.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good piece. The guy that took me into the area, he had found about 3 ounces of gold that summer metal detecting.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Do you need a special kind of metal detector? Is this not the one you'd take to the beach to look for coins?
Well, you know, there's a whole variety of... No, you're not going to find it with your average metal detector that's just, you know, for, you know, $49.95 or flea market special. Most of these instruments are now into the, like, $300, $400 range, all the way up into the $5,000 range for some of the high-end metal detectors.
Morning, Rip.
Whoops. Okay, let's get...
Oh, Montine's probably dealing with a customer.
Probably. Okay, let's get deal with one of our customers. Here's Jeff in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Rich Krim and Montine Blevins at the New 49ers.
Hello, this is Jeff.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm good with metal detectors. I think that's great. I dredged on the Salmon River in Northern California back in the 70s quite a bit. I knew a lot of miners back then and lived in Sawyer's Bar. I've dredged down in South America for a number of years. And I beg to differ of what Rich said about not killing fish and all. When you dredge in the river, you tear up the bedrock, you disturb all the sand and the gravel and stuff, and of course the fish are going to be behind the dredge eating all those worms and bugs and things that you dredge up. But it's like if you took the topsoil and washed it away, birds eat the worms, but then there wouldn't be any topsoil. So you are destroying fish habitat, and anybody that's dredged that says they've never harmed a fish is absolutely wrong, because maybe they didn't harm one, you know, by killing it or something, but they harmed the habitat. And any fisheries biologist will tell you habitat destruction is the biggest reason why we're losing fisheries. It's the biggest reason why you lose wildlife habitat destruction. Right. And high banking is another process that is destructive. You pull up roots. You have to break up bedrock in order to find gold. I mean, it's down in the crevices and the cracks in the bedrock. I know that for a fact. There's a little bit of it in the overburden, but not nearly as much. So when you do that process, you're kind of smoothing out that bedrock, taking away a lot of the areas that little animal, you know, little microorganisms, the animals and all the stuff is important for the ecology. They find refuge in there. So I really do not support the kind of dredging that does that, the kind of high banking and whatnot. I think recreational panning and particularly metal detecting are fine. And
all right, let's get a response from Rich.
My comment.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. Rich?
You know, and there are points that he brings up, but it's of significant value would be the studies done by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and other agencies that said that there's no significant damage as a result of suction mining. And that's why, through the regulatory process, they feel that you can continue under certain limitations because it does not show any significant damage to the fish or the environment.
Something else that Jeff said, though, is worth pursuing. He was talking about breaking up rocks. So what are you allowed to do in terms of the large rocks in the river? I mean, are you allowed to take a pick and bust those apart? And
well, you know, and that's a good point, but there is no gold inside of a big rock. The gold that's plastered gold is going to be the small fragments that are in between. And, yeah, we do move the big rocks. It may be just a few inches, maybe a foot or two, to get and work around it if you're suction mining. But they're basically left in place other than just to move them a few feet so that you can work around them. Sometimes they're even moved back into place so that you can continue working.
There was, when you mentioned early on, Rich, about the fact that you're working on claims on public land, are you crossing private land to get to any of these claims?
You know, the only time that we would cross any private land is with the authorization of the owner. And, you know, I think we have one area where we're allowed to cross over because it's down along the Klamath River. The owner of the adjacent property is a member of the organization, their family is a member, and they've given us access across their portion to reach the public land. Other than that, all of our claims are access from all public roads, public trails, and we're across public land, so we're not crossing across any private property.
And has the enthusiasm dampened somewhat since the suction dredge ban went into effect? Is there less activity by members of the New 49ers on the claims?
You know, it's dampened spirits, you know, to a point. But in the bottom end, people are staying very positive. You know, they're just hoping that there will be some reprieve, especially after the pending trials are coming up in, later this month and this year.
Okay, so it is coming up soon then, the legal action.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The issue then for anybody really who is interested in going into this is how much they're going to make out of it, because, and what has been happening with gold prices on the world market? Has it been staying fairly steady? Is the price good and high, or is it a little low?
Well, it's dropped down in the past year. I think we're right around $1,250 right now. It's hovering around there. You know, a year and a half ago was up to like $1,900 an ounce. And when that happened, boy, there was a lot of people that were coming out, you know, that were unemployed. They're looking for a way to make money, and that was a chance to do it. You know, like I said, some people have been able to stay alive, working mines, you know, along our claims and stuff. You know, and everybody has to set their own standard of what they'd like to get out of the mining process.
All right.
So,
we certainly appreciate the education we've gotten today from the New 49ers. Rich Krim is the Director of Internal Affairs there. Montine Blevins, the Office Manager. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later, Jeff.
You bet. That'll do it for today's exchange. You can find out more about the program and subjects and suggest a guest at jeffexchange.org. You can also find show topics and recordings on our Facebook page. The same link's available on Twitter. If you're listening in the morning, the takeaway is coming up next. If you're listening to our evening rebroadcast, we'll be followed by news from the BBC. Tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange, in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to the folks at Drive Oregon about assisting the electric vehicle industry reach greater heights in Oregon. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the authors of a neat science book called How to Build a Hovercraft. It's real fun with science, not just for kids either. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. The producer of the program is Charlotte Duren. Our student assistant and today's engineer is Reed Newland. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio, and have a great day.